Welcome into episode 180 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got the Caithness section first. Ooh. A blether with war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. See you again. What's crack? Swap section, me section, and the shoppy section. This episode is kindly sponsored from my lovely friend Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders. Run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad Gerald, they have a wealth of experience in weaving and textile trade, which is over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan and tweed fabric, along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to the requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on their website, please give her a call. The number is on the website, which is www.scotchtweed.co.uk and is a UK free phone number. All links are with the show notes. So get your cup of tea or your dram and let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
The Caithness section.
History segment. Well, I've put this first because it means that, well, the blether's going to make more sense. And this is my all-time favourite of all things Caithnesian. And this includes really, really bad George Sinclair, who locked his sons in the dungeon. And this, my listener friends, is Wick's War of the Orange. Before you be cry, this is sectarianism. No, no, it is not. It's actually an orange fruit. Are you sitting comfortably with some interest piqued? Do you have your knitting? Then I will begin. I said, I'll begin, Caroline. So, get out of whatever it is you're doing. I don't want to know what it is. That's what she said to me on Instagram. You don't want to know what I'm doing. But do you know what? If this gets you through whatever any of you are doing, then my mission here is complete. It's fantastic. We are transported back to Wick in 1859. Wick was made up from Pulteney Town and Wick, which are on both sides of the River Wick and the harbour. Pulteney Town was created in the 1800s to furnish the thriving fishing industry, which had a huge influx of workers from all over the UK. Most of the time, they got on pretty well. But on Saturday, the 27th of August, 1859... they didn't, and it all kicked off. Picture the scene. Saturday afternoon. The market square is full of people doing their messages. And a boy from Lewis, whom we shall call Lewis, buys an orange. Bear in mind that oranges would have been a luxury back then. But wee Lewis falls over and drops the orange. Then a big boy from Pulteney Town picked it up and wouldn't give it back. Isn't this always the way, listeners? So Lewis fights him for his orange and Big Boy holds him off. Lewis calls in Gallop to his pals, who are bigger than Big Boy, and retrieve the orange, handing it back to Lewis, who's hopefully very quickly, and then one of his big pals, who was a little drunk, attacked Big Boy from Pulteney Town. Then all kicked off. The whole market square started fighting. It's just like the saloon from the Westerns. It was about evenly matched with about 300 people in the square, and the market stalls got smashed up, and then the debris was used for weapons. I'd imagine it would be quite frightening for all that fighting and noise, and low gold police patrol came by. You're thinking lots of police controls. But such was the respect for the law of the day then, or fear, I'm not sure, which the sight of two policemen stopped the fighting. They found out what happened and they arrested drunk Lewis Big Boy, who attacked Big Boy Pulteney Town, and they tried to march him down to the police station, which was 200 yards away down the street. It's not now, they've moved it. Such was the outrage from his Highlander friends that they attempted to rescue him and fighting broke out again. They couldn't get into the police station, so they took him into the courthouse, which adjoins the station, and this floor there was a rather menacing Highlander who the police and men-at-arms of the courthouse tried to haul into the station too, because I think they were probably scared of him. But, I love this bit, a human game of tug of war began. And his clothes all got ripped off. And then he got nicked at the end of it. And they won that one. Now, cause Wickers are generally nosy, and it was all, oh, hey, some entertainment. entertainment happening for Saturday tea time, people. There was about 2,500 people out. Just having a wee look here. Only about 100 are threatening violence by now. But the man at arms was taking no chances, and he sent out for some special constables to the Fisheries Protection Cutter, the Princess Royal, who was lying 5 miles to the north at Rees Bay. Then, nobody knows who started throwing the stones, but there were stones coming in, and there were stones coming out. Police jail yard, which caused some injuries, obviously, to both sides and to the town hall windows. I love that town hall. I hope that they didn't damage it too much. A fair bit of fighting was happening, but because the huge crowd, the attackers weren't, well, they weren't able to corner their prey and give them a proper kicking, because there was too many people there. And no amount of cease and desist shouting in English and Gaelic was working. And then there was a bit of worry that the 1,500 people who were in for Saturday evening prayers would join in over and above the 2,500 people already there. Thankfully they didn't, and they went home, and the Gaelic-speaking Free Kirk minister tried to calm the situation to no avail. So, the police got really quite organised then. They went full on riot squads, splitting the crowds up, pushing them back across south, across the river, back up into the north side, and, well, they mostly went home when they realised that their entertainment was done for the night. There was the isolated flare-up, but nothing much, and Sunday was peaceful. On Monday, however, different story. So, listeners, we're going to leave it there until the next episode because it's got no craft in it and I want to get on with it.
Now for the blather.
Right, the blather. This one comes from when I was swimming one day and I was thinking about what to put in to the podcast and the Caithness segment. And I'm just going to be downhill from now on because that was my favourite historical story, was the War of the Orange. And I learned about it at school and it seems so silly, as most wars are at the start. But then it would have been more about than just an orange, which would have been a precious commodity back in the '80s. But a town going through so much influx of workers with different cultures, as we know from periods of history, are going to have a simmering undercurrent where people vie for being the top dog. Sadly, history repeats itself over and over with worse results mostly. Humans are always at war one way or the other. The war could be with ourselves, in many, many parts of our lives. Work, social, love, hobbies, even our own bodies when health is concerned. So I'm going to stick to the war of hobbies. Craft in particular. At what point is it war when we are making something? Did you know you were at war? Well, listeners, you might be. It may start with a drop stitch, but it may end in the entire garment being pulled out. All the knitters have just fallen over. Or that smudge of ink where none was wanted. And then the card has to go into the bin. There's no retrieve on that one. And all the card makers have just fallen over. Drastic actions. And sometimes could be saved. I saw myself, a sewer yesterday, cut something wrong, threw it onto the floor. And then the United Nations, let's call her Linda, adorned her blueberry and flew over with the music blaring, picked it up and persuaded the sewer not to throw it out, but cut it straight, start again but 3 inches shorter. The same Linda who had made the most glorious King's quilt, but for some reason didn't like it, and is going to finish it but for her dogs. It's got Airedales, but they're for her dogs. Now most of us couldn't see what was wrong with it, with the quilt. Linda just couldn't get past her stolen orange of the quilt problems. Now, I think the dogs will win on this one, but do you know, Linda, it is beautiful. Please take that and put it with your orange. I'm currently fighting my want to rip back the sleeves of my new old cardigan. I want to rip it back 4 inches and decrease. They're gaping a good inch at the rib and it's beginning to bother me. I've worn it quite a few times now, but it is bothering me. It bothered me actually when I put it on. And that back of the head talk was going, rip it back. And the front of the head was going, no, I've just finished it. And the back of the head was going, rip it back, it'll fit better. And the front of the head was going, I don't know where I put the needles. And the back of the head was going, but it doesn't fit right. You have to put your sleeves up every time you're going to wash your hands. It could do with being half an inch shorter. And the front of the head's going, I suppose you're right, but I really just don't want to. What happens if it's wrong? And the back of the head's going, just do it! Let's say the front of the head's just won so far. Now, the pattern is not to blame here. Mainly because, well, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the pattern. But it's for 3/4 length sleeves, so she didn't have appropriate decreases past the elbow. So, really, my fault. I'm also fighting the battle of cast on all the things. I am the kind of knitter that, if monogamous, will get it finished. Too many whips upset me. I feel like the orange stealer will be holding his hand above his head while I jump up and down and he has his hand on my head and I get nowhere fast. I have not to call on my big drunk friends, but to go about it another way. Possibly poking him in the soft parts when he bends over, ouching. Grab my orange back, and by this I mean not casting all the things, but just put the time in and finish what I'm wanting finished, or putting it aside until I'm ready to get back to it, or even pulling it all out and repurposing the yarn, as I have done in the past. I have battle plans, war plans. I do have to be in a particular mood to knit on certain things, and at certain times of the day, and also lights. I want to use my stash and not splash out more stuff. I want to use my stash for the right projects and forgo the jumping on the bandwagon for the new trends. Or I'll never get my orange back. Now, I hope you're not fighting wars right now, listeners, because you'll only lose your orange. Or worse, lose your clothes in a human game of war. Now, I don't know. I think we'll just have the giggle to make us smile again. So here's the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello,
section. Ah, Sandy, hello to you, to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever, listeners. I still really appreciate you tuning in and I hope you're enjoying yourselves. I know I sound like I'm sing-songing, but I really, 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 really actually do totally and utterly appreciate you doing it. A Sandy hello to new group members, Cup Pud, Neurotic Bunny Lady, I love her knitting on Instagram, Contented Reader, oh, I wonder if she could recommend some reading, or Angel Lunar. Luna 20. My random hellos are to Carol Cal, D Hayes, Mary Ham, Luzel, Lane Cable, Aunt Betsy Knits, and Emily from Brooklyn again, who's got the beautifulest twins of ever. Finally, a huge hello to Nora of Silver Spring Knits fame. You mentioned later, Nora. You know, but I just thought I'd say hello. Oh, and Louise from Knit British, because her and Felicity and all the other Wovember crew are doing a stonking job, and I think we should just applaud them enormously.
What's the crack section?
Right, what's a crack? An update from last episode on the electric car. Alas, we're not getting one. We test drove the Renault Zoe, and the car itself is absolutely wonderful to drive. Completely smooth, easy, comfortable, all things I was looking for. And then we kind of realised, apart from other things, we couldn't fit a roof rack for the bikes on the roof, because that's where you put a roof rack, or even the back, because it's all aerodynamic. Also, the infrastructure, which is really the main thing, it's just not here yet for the charging points out and about. The idea was to use it for the going away south car, and even just a day trip to Inverness would be quite difficult unless we went to precisely certain places, and there's not that many. And I don't really want to go. So, whereas the cost of the charge is really, really good, the cost of the car itself and the cost they were given for our trade-in and the extras we'd need, it just didn't add up. It would be wonderful to zip around the county because we could charge it at home and they come with a proper plug for your outside. They come and sort of install that. But say for the Christmas, we would go down to the in-laws, we then have to buy a £580 lead to plug into their electricity, or then we'd have to go to a charging point in Oban. That just defeats the purpose to me. And The cost of the actual lead we looked up was £150 tops. So I think that they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot. They're not really thinking about what the customer wants, the customer needs as well. So it was a shame. I really liked driving it. We went and looked at hybrids then, and they're a step in the right direction, but not Womble achievement, because then it goes to petrol over 30 miles an hour. Most of my journeys are over 30 miles an hour. I don't live in a town. We're delaying this anyway, because the car we thought about is only coming out in December, and it's not a good idea to buy a car in December, because the renewal notices then come in December. Like, your insurance and your tax, even if there is some, and eventually your MOT, etc, etc, and December's not happening in my house. So we're going to keep the Civic for a little while longer. It's actually quite sad that the Honda doesn't have electric or hybrid range, but it's coming, it is coming. And so I thought I'd let you know my findings of my Womble exploration. I'm being extremely good at the recycling, and our buying plastic rubbish is not happening this year for the festive season. I did laugh at myself last episode, though. Me going, don't spend it all and be a hungry consumer. And the next breath going, buy for me, I've made stuff. So war plan is to think, do I need that? Yeah, well, yes, I do. Louise has it. She's a Womble. I'm a Womble. That justifies it. Hopefully. So, yeah. Well, that's the update with the electric car. Beautiful car to drive if you're in the right circumstances. And alas, not yet we are. And when we are, we will jump at the chance. Have you been enjoying Wovember? Wear wool in November. I am really enjoying the Instagram pictures every day. It's kind of made my brain think. And I've been referring to Julia Stumpy Feeds every day, because I didn't take a note of them. And I thought, I know Julia, I can remember Julia. I love Julia, she's ace. I know where she took the photograph, and I keep going to her every day. So thank you, Julia. You carry on being so awesome. The Wovember blog posts are a complete wealth of woolly information. And our November is proving hard not to need wearing of wool every day. It is so cold and wet and miserable, and then wet and miserable and then cold and repeat. I have had on my used hat on every day. Although I was taking a selfie the other day and I thought, I think old in this and wrinkly. Only 42. So I was wondering if the colour actually helps it me, or maybe it just doesn't suit me as such for my skin colour. So I offered Richard the hat, and he said, well, could you not dye it? I thought, yeah, because I don't actually want to give you the hat, but I want to wear this hat. So I'm thinking about this, because it's very toasty and it has a nice stretch to it. I'm thinking about it, I probably will do it, because it's such a lovely yarn. All used yarns are lovely. Now, Twincy Ellen has another cowl and headband designed out. I don't know whether this was just because I was having a bit of banter with Twincy Ellen, because I love Ellen. I love everybody tonight. I've had wine, so la, love out there. Now, this design is called Rasta in the Round, and it's for super bulky weight, and it is a Tunisian crochet project for a headband and cowl. But the challenge with this one is getting the right size of Tunisian crochet hook, and Ellen said that herself. So I have to say, I'm way tempted with it, because I'm sure I have plenty of super bulky yarn with my hands spun. But I actually already have a Tunisian crochet cowl based on her paving cowl pattern from some hand spun. However, I think I might just put that crochet hook onto my EYF shopping list, or before. Because who doesn't want more stuff from Ellen? Subliminal message to Ellen. Look into the eyes, look into the eyes, and you're under. Ellen, I'd quite like a hat to match all my stuff. Pause for effect. And look out of the eyes, look out of the eyes, and you're back in the room. Right, hi Ellen. You're feeling a little bit sleepy, but you feel like you want to make a nice Tunisian hat pattern. Just for Louise. That's nice. So we went to see Paddington 2 at the pictures, and oh, it was fantastic. I thought many others have agreed, and it is even better than the first one. Also, my hairdresser didn't get Paddington 1, and I just don't understand. how you can't love Paddington. Aunt Lucy did such a good job of bringing up that bear. He has the most lovely manners. He is so kind. We should all be more like Paddington. If you want to have a couple of lovely, wonderful hours and laugh your socks off at Hugh Grant and Paddington, then do try and watch it. Be more Paddington. We also went to see Thor Ragnarok, and it was rather entertaining. It was very funny. And we've also been to see the Justice League, which, when he goes to Iceland, not spoiling, there's no spoilers in this, there is a rather handsome amount of Icelandic knitting. And I was rather disappointed in what he was wearing, because he was in Icelandic knitting land, and I was going, ooh, I think I recognise that pattern. So if you want to see some knitting, lovely knitting, in a superhero project film, then go see the Justice League. Although I think you kind of have to like the superhero stuff first. Wonder Woman is awesome.
The swap section.
Right, swap. The annual Christmas or winter decoration swap is now about to send. 24th now. I hope you have been gathering your bits and pieces to send away to your swap partner. And this is to be gone by the first week of December, which is quite soon. I have made mine, and I am so chuffed with it, I want to make another one for me. So I hope that Purple Polly Pocket likes it as much as I have enjoyed making it.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, 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 me section. I'm... sigh. Still working on my Dragonflies Rising shawl by Helen Stewart. I'm on the last 25% now, and I hope to get it finished for you now, but well... really? I just want to get on to the next project with it. I actually got into a pickle on the increase rows, and I thought I'd made a mistake. So it sat for most of a week until then I went back when I was in the right mood and couldn't find the mistake. So hooray for no mistakes, and not hooray for not realising that there was no mistakes, you could have carried on sooner. Duh. I am using Wandering Wool sock weight in a merino cashmere nylon. And this is in an ink blot black colour. I thought, well, black's going to match a lot of the stuff, you know, red, navy. I thought, should you wear navy and black? I feel like I should have a moustache for this. Yes. Hercule Poirot, that I've not seen yet on the Murder on the Orient Express, which I'd quite like to see, but I don't think I'm going to have time to before Star Wars comes out. So I bought this in Washington, D.C. I don't have a moustache. With Nora of Silver Spring Knits and the beads as well. In fact, I don't think I'd like a moustache. I quite like it. The shawl, not the moustache. Although, Kenneth Branagh's moustache is apparently very good. I don't like, at the same time, knowing exactly how much more I have to do with the percentage pattern system that Helen uses. I love you, Helen. I love it, but at the same time think, oh, Willie, I've still got to do 25%. The rows are so long. But I'm getting down the yarn too, and it's really good because I'm feeling like I'm going to use most of it up. If not, I might have to use yarn chicken. Dun, 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 dun. I'll let you know. I must be finished by this time next episode. Surely. Now, I did cast on my Woolly Wormhead Scoury Hat kit, which I bought, and you can now buy from Rebel's Craft Shop. Get the blue and gold. Oh, get the blue and gold. Remember, I got into a pickle, keeping the working yarn to the front, and then I had to rip back. Well, I took the whole lot back to the first line and started again. I now have two wedges of 8, or possibly 9, depends if it fits. I use washi tape to keep my place, and I'm really finickety, so knit away, do. I get to the end of the row, I do the German short row, I quite like the Sherman George row. So I knit the stitch, I turn the work, put it down my lap, and then I move the washi tape to my left on the pattern. For those of you that have not found washi tape, it's just like masking tape, but it's pretty. And it's got pretty patterns on it, and originates from Japan. and it's awesome and you want it. So you move it up the pattern. I use mine to move up the pattern, which is very cool. And because, well, mainly because I couldn't find the post-it notes in my house. I don't know what's happened to them. I've also written on the pattern for which side my stitch marker is, because I've seen sometimes I get mixed up quite a lot working back and forward so much. The yarn is really lovely. It's nice and soft. The plies can be splitty, but it's very nice to work with. And I'm using 3mm metal long needles. They're a bit clicky and a bit sort of scratchy, but they're getting the job done. And I don't have a 3mm needle in anything else. Willie, it's a genius. Honest to goodness, this woman is a genius. I'm sitting there thinking, how did she know this? And how did she figure out that? And when did she know to put that in?
Wow.
And how did she... So I was listening to her recent episode on the Cottage Notebook podcast when I was spinning with Nadia. Love Nadia. She reminded me of Emma Thompson. And I really mean this as a complete and utter compliment, because I reckon Emma Thompson, top dog. She's awesome. But I think it may be just her accent or just the way that she's so confident and she just knows what she's talking about. She has every reason to know what she's talking about, and she's just... ace. So, Emma Thompson of the knitting world. I wonder who that makes me. Answers on a postcard. I finished a checkbox cowl. I finished a checkbox cowl. She did this first. By my friend, Twinsy Ellen. And hello, Twinsy Jan. Just because you're there. Using some Arran Hebridean that I had bought over in Stornoway this year. My Sandy wanted it finished toot sweet, and it didn't quite make the whole size. I put it on a long needle and he tried it on a few times and it was the size that he wanted. And 7:50 in the morning he said, "Ma, I'd quite like to wear that. That's about the right size. Can I have it today because it's cold?" I said, "Oh, okay." I can't remember how many stitches it is, and I knew in the pattern Ellen had said that you use a sewn bind off, and I had thought, well, when I get to the sewn bind off, I'll read that, how you exactly do it. Oh, okay. And then he went, "And I want it," and it has to be done in 23 minutes, because they go out the door at 13 minutes past 8. Precisely. That's when my alarm is on my clock. My phone, we have Happy by, I was going to say Phineas Fogg, but that's not right, Pharrell Williams. I quite like Phineas Fogg, but I think it was Pharrell Williams did a better job of "I'm Happy." Clap, clap. I did a Russian bind off and I finished it at 14 minutes past 8, shoved it on his head and threw them out the door. "Run, children, run!" He went off to school quite happy and warm, and I've written, to be honest, I've not seen it since. But he told me that he'd worn it today, which is good. I'm not sure if he has, though. However, it is a really lovely pattern, and you can make this in a weekend, and we've got weekends between now and Christmas. So Christmas panic knitters, get on to it. I'm toying making another one out of my BFL Toss a Silk handspun. My hat is sitting behind me on my spinning wheel. I just need to skin it up. Now, I have said that I've wound the yarn for my Moonraker cowl. I haven't touched it yet. In spinning news, I finished, because you know you like the finished, I finished my Adelaide Walker BFL Toss a Silk in natural fawn colours. So I got about, I can't remember exactly, 200 metres-ish, I think. Now I did write down somewhere, and I didn't then write on a label, so I don't actually know how long it is. Now, I know it's almost enough to make the checkbox cap because I checked at the top, but I didn't. And listeners, don't do what I do. Write it down and somewhere you're going to find it again. Do your homework. Do your research. Don't do the things I do. So then I spun up 4 ounces of some merino and Toss a Silk, and I got 69 metres. This was from Train. Hello, Train. as a swap a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And this was from Wonderland Dye Works, who do some lovely stuff still. And you can sign up to do fibre clubs and... I wish I lived in the US sometimes. And had loads of money. So I spun it quite slobby because I knew I was going to Navajo ply because it's different colours. And I didn't want them to be too marled or lollipop stick, barber pulled. And I thought, well, if I Navajo ply, it might be okay and I might get a little bit further. So this is the most that I've ever Navajo plied. So it was kind of a, well, you'll learn more a bit more now. And once I was in the zone, it was fine. It's not perfect yarn, and the other bits I wasn't in the zone for, but I really like it. It's in the colours of Daisy's new winter jacket, which is light blue and darker blue and almost teal. And then there's a wee tad of white there too. Now her new jacket also has a poppy red in it too, but this skein of merino didn't. And I had said to Daisy, well, you need a new hat and scarf set to match. Because when we bought the jacket, I didn't buy a hat. So, well, I can make a hat. I'm a mother that makes hats. Why should I buy a hat? The hat that actually matched the jacket. So I looked over all the internet, all of it. I was there for hours. And there is a tomato red, almost orange, too. And Helen of Rebels Craft matched it in 4-ply. And also I could get it from John Arbon's Knit by Numbers, which, enormous fun looking at that. Thank you, Russell. And then Daisy's went, nah, I'm alright. What? At the time, I was actually spinning this fibre. I said, but what? Of course you need a new hat. Nah, I'm fine, Mum. So this fibre has sat in my stash for years. And I really only picked it out because I kind of just shut my eyes and put my hand in the basket of fibre and picked it out. Oh, that's pretty. And it matches perfectly. I want red to go with it for, because I don't have any in my stash. So I thought, But I kind of want to finish a couple of other things that I'm doing first, because otherwise the ward plan goes wrong. Also figure out, what would she use most? A hat, a cowl, scarf, mitts? And there really isn't enough for all three with 69 metres, but when I add a red to it, I could make it stretch it out. When I finish the next project, I think I'll buy me some tomato red. I think, yeah. I was thinking a nice geometric colourwork hat, and I'd find a really cool pattern of Ravelry, but when I went back to it, can't find it. Believe me, I've been on the hats. Hundreds and hundreds of pages, and today would be a great day to find it because there's got 25% off a lot of the patterns. Oh, there's some beautiful hats out there. Now, obviously, I like the woolly wormhead ones, and then I really like the ombre ones, and then I like the Passerine hat by Erica Hauser because it's got birdies on it. And then there's the Ursa Minor by Tanis Gray, which uses the right colours, and then there's Northern Light ones, and there's so many hats in so many little time. Crochet front. I'm told that yes, Purple Polly Pocket has heard of She-Hulk. So listeners, we're fine. It's fine. It's not just made up for the book. You know, like token extra female. So I do like how they have extra female characters in there because yeah, I think it should actually be 50-50. I mean, it's about 50-50 in the planet, so why shouldn't there be 50-50? We went to see both Thor, and Justice League, and there's just not enough female comic book picture makers. I'm making Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, and I currently have made up to his head. I did have half his head, but then I ran out the brown yarn I was using, so I found some other brown yarn, which is not the same brown, but Daisy is okay with it. So I took it back to his neck and his head is going to be a different brown. And you kind of embroider onto him anyway, so he's going to look like a embroidered on Groot tree. If you see the face I'm making, I'll just put the side of my lip up and it'll look cool. So I'll be making him when Sandy's at swimming, so it's been slow progress, but I'm okay with that because it's something to grab when I go. And she's not gurning for it. I did get a good tip, actually, from Claire at swimming, and she suggested that when you're stuffing a toy, you use a pencil that doesn't have a point to it, the tip's been broken off, which is very annoying if you're looking to write with something, but apparently it's really good for stuffing toys because it grips it, doesn't grip it back, it shoves it in. There you go, listeners, tip. On to sewing front. Now, I've been working on the drop cloth sampler that I bought from Edinburgh Yarn Fest. I haven't done anything with the penguin button because I've been lazy, but my friend Mari loves penguins, so I really should put it towards her because I bought it with her in mind. And it's going to take a while longer than I thought. It's nice to be able to pick up and put down with no time frame though. And see you on Instagram. I am loving all the cross-stitch pictures progress. Especially the Christmas ones, the subversive ones, the fine art ones, just all of them. I love them. They make my heart glad. And I see you've done progress and then my heart goes, ooh, guilty, because, well, I've got quite a few kits I've not yet touched. Or rather, well, I did actually touch them the other day in my quest to find a packet of something. I love the progress of cross-stitch, but I struggle with the speed of cross-stitch, so it's my downfall. Maybe it's my kryptonite. So I sewed for the Etsy shop, and I'll tell you about that in the shoppy section. And I have dyed some more silk scarves using Silk Omega dyes with the designated microwave. You should not use the designated microwave for food after you have used the Omega silk dyes, because that's why it's designated. There you go. There's your health and safety notice. I have these in the sale on the shop for £15. Oh, we're not quite yet in the shoppy section. I have nothing in the library corner. I actually had the cold last week, so this is kind of why these things have delayed and there's not much done. Oh, and finally in the sewing section, I have started making me a zippy bag, because I feel like I've made everybody else a zippy bag, although I'm still expecting to make Naomi and Lexi a zippy bag, but I think she's waiting for me to finish making my zippy bag. So Naomi, I'm nearly finished. And I have a piece of tweed. Now, it's actually, I don't know where it came from. I don't think it was Scotch tweed. Love you, Anta! But I think it was from Joan. Now, the inside material, I have part of a William Morris layer cake. I love William Morris. And Joan from Textile Artist was down in Jersey a few years ago on holiday, and she came back with a William Morris layer cake. And a layer cake is, I'm going to say like 8 inches by 8 inches. It's all cut, pre-cut. And it's in William Morris print. And there were sections of blue, teal, green, red, blue, if I say blue, yellowy. And there was enough to give out to everybody in Taste of Artists. And it's really generous of her. And we all sat there and went, oh, Joan, that would have cost a fortune. You can't possibly be giving that away. She said, Joan is lovely. And Joan is very generous. And Joan went, I can't take it with me. I bought it for you. Take it and stop arguing. Okay. And then we all had this mass scramble into the William Morris. But it was really good because we actually all kind of went, I really want the blue. Or somebody else went, they want the teal, and nobody was arguing about what colour they want. We're quite nice that way. I sat upstairs for a few years. Somebody has made stuff. I think Dorothy made cushions out of hers, and I had thought, oh, I'm going to make cushions out of mine. But the zippy bag, it is just a little bit, it's actually 10 inches. I know that because I measured it 100 times the other day. Stupid me. So it's 10 inches by 10 inches, and the part of the zippy bag is 9 3/4 inches by 8 3/4 inches. So you have a little tiny bit left over, and Norma goes, see all the bits of my leftover quilts? I make lots and lots of mug quilts. So what's a mug quilt? It's a coaster. And she says, and then it sort of tells the tale of my sewing. That's a nice idea. Ooh. And I was something 2 inches wide. Oh, maybe not quite 2 inches, because some of it is 8 3/4 off of 10. Do your own mathematics, people. So I had these wee strips, so I had some left over, and then I had to do one, and it was 4 inches wide. And wasn't the bit that was left over 3 inches wide? Yes, yes, it was, listeners. So, well, whatever. I know I don't have enough to do the whole thing, because I don't have enough for the sides, and I don't have enough for the zip binding, but I'll just get to the point where I can get to and put zips in, blah, 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 write the theme song, sing the theme song, do the theme song. And I was sitting there, so, oh, I've got an extra bit here I've got for the middle bit. I don't need that middle bit. Hold on a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, 5. Do, Louise, you weren't counting. I really should not cut when I'm out of the house, because I seem to be reasonably okay doing it when I'm by myself. In company? No. Even when I've got the instructions beside me? No. No kips, darling. So I had this extra piece of material. Fantastic! Yay! Everybody do the Scooby dance. Yeah. So stuck it in. And then, oh, I don't have enough interfacing. Ooh, I need to go to Elizabeth and order some get some interfacing, don't I? Fingers. Right, fingers. I'm doing the Wilson Gromit fingers. I love going to Elizabeth. I got home and I thought, right, well, what I'm going to do, I haven't cut my piece of tweed down, and I'll interface it and then I'll embroider it and it'll be pretty. And so I have some interfacing that I had from dressmaking. So sewed it on. You don't sew it. Well, you do some interfacing. I remember Happy Lucky telling me that you sewed organza on for interfacing. Oh, I've got some organza. Happy Lucky, I think you're fantastic. How clever of you to remember me that. This is Heath. Right, so I can finish this. So I had some that I didn't have enough, and ironing it on sticks lovely. I do quite like the way it sticks to it. It's pathetic. Go, yeah, we're on. I got to the point where it needs to go onto the front, and then you put sides on. It won't make sense if you've ever had a clue what I'm talking about. It's which it won't, so it's fine. Look, geese. Ooh, I had 7 swans fly over me today when I was running. Richard threw me out the house tonight, and it was 4 o'clock. It's getting dark. Look at a big grey cloud over already. The wind's going in that direction, it'll not stop. But you? No, take book off. I don't want to. Out you go. I don't want to. Threw me out. So I'm running away. Coming back. And I was snoring everywhere because it was cold. I thought, this isn't so bad. Oh! And then I heard the honkity honk honk of swans. Not the mute ones, because they apparently don't say anything. I think. Hooper swans. It was just, I love swans just now at this time of year. And there was a good 7 of them. Because, you know, 7 swans are swimming or flying. Because 12 days of Christmas coming up. We will have, for you, Gail, and other Elf fans, there will be Elf on the Shelf fun from my Instagram feed soon. It's 24th of November. We have to serve an eviction notice on Buchel, I believe, tonight. So there will be Elf on the Shelf fun from my Instagram feed. Coming soon. And hey, what was I saying? Went for a run tonight. It's the first run I have done just by myself. Really, really, really struggling with the motivation for this. So zippy bag, meeting for me. Can't remember, but right, shopping station. I can't remember. Slapping on. I'm doing something else, but can't talk about it until next episode. And I think that's it, craft-wise. And I'm going to make cushions for our couch. I have the tweed from Angela. I've got quite a bit of tweed. I also want to make a handbag for myself, because my own handbag, the handles are almost dead. And it is... I'm quite impressed. I'm using it. I'm using it till it falls to bits. And I will be making a new handbag soon. So, yeah.
Shoppy section.
Thank you very much for putting up with that splat and your purchases the past week. I so much appreciate it. Love you a lot. The shop has currently got a Caithness tartan pencil case, And, oh, we've started hailstorming again. If not very many people have these, this was a special from my retreat. And also, there for project bag section, I have a Macmillan, a Reid MacGregor, Robertson, two Grants, and a Royal Stuart. And the Royal Stuart's a tartan that you can wear if you don't have a clan. And also, we have 10 silk scarves, dyed by me and the microwave, the designated microwave, which I really, really enjoyed making. Loved it so much. I was listening to Truly Myrtle when I was making them, and I just felt like it was in New Zealand. It was wonderful. If you feel you would love to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back as well, please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/CadenceCraft. Or you can support the podcast, get nothing back if you want. And this is paypal.me/CadenceCraft. I'm happy to review patterns, books, yarns or notions. If you're in that line, don't be shy. And also this weekend for Thanksgiving, Black Friday, I'm jumping on the bandwagon and going Indie Friday. I have got a 15% off everything in my shop. So the silk scarves are £15, 15% off. What's not to love? You can get yourself some Christmas presents. Section. Woo! Thank you so much for listening. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me spaff on. I would like to add opinions of mine, sometimes Richard's always not in it. I do occasionally get facts wrong, try not to. I really don't do it on purpose, but I'm just a bit glated sometimes. My email is CaithensCraftCollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt 80, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as CaithensCraft. You can get the podcast from Podbean site as www.CaithensCraftCollective.podbean.com. I've got new hair today. It's nice and dark. And the intro is from Free Music Archive. It's called Entertainment from the Brain Dead by a friend. Thank you for listening. And keep on crafting.